Roush begins now.
Good to be alive right about now.
It will include Randall Cobb, who is scheduled to appear coming up in a few minutes. We'll get to him, hopefully, on time. So before we get to him, though, I want to get back to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers wide receivers. By the way, I have found Trey Meyer, the intern, who was run over by A.J. Dillon, trucked, and I am formulating your poll question that you wanted in the field.
Okay.
So I will continue to work on that as we get ready for Randall Cobb to join us. But I am sure we will ask Randall about the rookies at wide receiver. There's four of them. Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, that's Tausch's guy.
Romeo, all farted out that Romeo.
Samori Toure and ex-Badger Danny Davis. There may be a story about them for The Athletic currently in the works right now. So I may be doing some double dipping during our conversation with Randall Cobb. But we'll talk to him about them and a lot of other things. But the presence of those rookies leads to obvious questions at the wide receiver position. And Aaron Rodgers was asked about them during the minicamp last month. And after he got done talking a lot about Davante Adams and how much he was going to miss him and everything else, look at the Madden rankings. Came out this morning. Davante Adams is a 99. He is the definition of productivity. No wide receiver in the NFL has caught more passes for more yards and more touchdowns than Davante Adams from 2016 to present. No one. No wide receiver. And now they've got Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard, and a group of guys that combined have like 18 career receptions. That's not productivity. Here's what Aaron Rodgers said about potential and production.
I like production over potential. We have some production. We have a lot of potential. We need to temper expectations and heighten the accountability. I think that's the most important thing with those guys. There's guys who've done some things in the league, and there's guys that haven't. They're going to get opportunities. So reasonable expectations for those guys, and then high expectations and accountability for the entire room. Excited about Randall. We played a lot of football together. Excited about Sammy. Excited about Alan Lazard. I mean, he's been our dirty work guy for most of his career here. Now he's getting an opportunity to be a number one receiver.
Tausch, when you look at this group, and I asked you earlier about this whole discussion of the pressure Rodgers is under. How do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to handle this? Because, you know, I don't think he's going to be quite as harsh as he may have been early in his career. But at the same time, he ain't going to be, oh, it's okay. It's okay that you ran the route at the wrong depth. You're a rookie. It's okay. We're going to be seeing some arms flailing and some curse words and maybe a Microsoft Surface tablet being chucked on the sideline, aren't we? Like, this is going to drive him nuts at different points, isn't it?
I think this is where his gratitude, his empathy, all of that mental work that he's doing, whether it's the Panchakarma cleanse, that's where this gets tested. Because it's easy to do, you know, say and do all the right things. It's different when somebody undercuts a route and goes pick six because the receiver didn't get to the right depth. And then, well, how's Aaron Rodgers going to handle that? And then is he going to trust him and go back to it? So I think Aaron has learned over the years that body language and some of these things are really important. But urgency is, and you heard it there. I mean, he's saying the right things, but you can also hear the fact that the urgency and the, you know, expectation game might be a little bit lower, but the production and who's out there, you're not going to get the opportunities. If you can't show that in practice, you know what you're doing, you're going to be limited on your opportunities because there is a sense of urgency. And I'm sure, you know, when we talk to Randall, talking about when you get to that back end of your career, which Randall is, which we all believe Aaron Rodgers is, there, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed next year. This isn't Christian Watson saying, well, I'm going to grow and grow into it. Well, you better grow up quick. And how Aaron handles that, I think, is going to be a key part to how this season goes. And as far as, you know, Aaron tempering expectations, that is a great thing to say. smart. I think that that's smart, that everybody up there, I'm starting to hear and feel, you know, I'm hearing the same thing, so I know Coach is mentioning this. But if you for one second believe that Aaron Rodgers, four-time MVP, 18 years in this league, is going to temper his expectations on what this 2022 Green Bay Packers team is, if you believe that privately he believes that, I got a bridge to sell you in the middle of Horicon. Big duck hunting spot. Oh, and there actually are bridges.
There's
out
a
there.
Lot of bridges.
I don't
Horicon.
Have any of those bridges. I guess
there.
I can't sell those bridges. I don't know. City owns them.
I thought you'd go like Leo Frigo Tower Bridge, which you don't even like.
Yeah,
you'd want to sell
bridge.
That because you don't want to go over it.
Do you buy this whole expectation temperance bit? I don't.
Well, we'll talk about that later after we talk to Randall, because I'm guessing that's something that you'll want to address
sure.
with him. I would say this. Aaron Rodgers does like it when his team flies under the radar.
Oh. Then he shouldn't be the quarterback. Put Jordan Love in at quarterback, and you know what? Your team's going to have lower expectations.
It may not
that's
even take off.
That's the price you pay. You can't. You can ask people for stuff, but that's not how it's going to play, and you know it as well as anybody does.
Yeah, that's true. You asked me to put a poll in the field.
I have I know I'm asking a lot. We didn't put a poll in last week. If we did, it was one. I'm also fascinated by this whole idea. We'll get to that later.
Yes.
But
okay. Can I get the clearance from you on our poll?
There's Cam Smith up on the TV. I think Cam Smith looks good. The stash, the hair. Yeah, I'm disagreeing with Jesse.
He does not
look at that
good.
Handsome fella.
Unbelievable. That's how Jesse feels about Cam Smith. I want to know how you feel about this poll so we can get to Randall Cobb.
Okay.
Today's Wilde and Tausch Twitter poll in honor of intern/mascot Trey Meyer taking one for the team, the Kenosha Kingfish, and getting trucked by A.J. Dillon. As a Packers fan, would you be willing to get run over by hashtag Quadzilla despite the health risk, just to have the story to tell?
Great poll. That is as well-worded a poll as I've seen.
Maybe I'll close the gap on Rob Domofsky as your favorite beat writer at some point. All right, so I'll put the poll in the field. It is out there. Be sure to vote on the Wilde and Tausch Twitter feed. Randall Cobb, Packers wide receiver, is scheduled to appear next. Tausch, if I had one in my hand and the mountains were blue, I might even crack a Coors Light just to celebrate Randall joining us.
Celebrate Randall joining us, celebrating a big championship for the Sun Prairie baseball team this weekend. There were plenty of Coors Lights drunk over the weekend, and it's because Coors Light is brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it is made to chill the mountains. Oh, baby, the mountains on Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans. They turn blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, out there in beautiful Golden, Colorado.
Randall Cobb scheduled to appear next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Wilde and Tausch back with you and joining us now. He is on his second year of his second stint with the Green Bay Packers. I did not cry the same way as that photo of Evan Siegel depicted him and Aaron Rodgers. But I was close.
Well, at least not publicly.
Maybe privately. And I may or may not have cried when he returned, and I still can't believe he did. He will turn 32 next month, which I can't believe I also just said. He is Green Bay Packers wide receiver, Randall Cobb. Randall, good morning. How are you today?
Well, you don't have to put my age out there like that. my great-grandfather duty.
Well, I won't put my age out there either because it's much higher. But I will say this. to say that when I first met you as a 20-year-old rookie and how you were wise beyond your years and so much more mature than you would think a 20-year-old rookie was, does that seem like forever ago or does that seem like yesterday?
No, man, I still think I'm 23. It feels like yesterday. You know, it's crazy how fast time happens, but I still feel like a young kid, and I still get confused when people think I'm like 38. But, you know, I guess that's part of being in it for a long time.
Well, you are still young, even though you are entering your 12th NFL season, and it is your second with the Packers on your second go-round. Is there a part of you that still can't believe that it actually came to fruition? You never wanted to leave. You've talked on our show before about that and the girlfriend breakup and everything else that it felt like. But did you ever think that you and Aaron and Goody could make this happen a second time the way it did?
I didn't. You know, I was hopeful that maybe one day it would happen, but I honestly didn't believe that it would. Or, you know, I thought if I ever played with Aaron again, it'd be somewhere else in a different uniform. But it happened, and we're here. And, you know, coming back, it was a really big point in my life, and I'm very thankful for it. You know, it's a special place. It's always been a special place to me. It'll always be a special place to me, and I'm just thankful that I have the opportunity to wear the green and gold again.
So what was last season like for you, and what was it like to see it end the way it did? Because when we talked during the playoffs or right before the playoffs started, you talked so much about getting here in 2011, the year after the Super Bowl, and how much it would mean for you to get back. What was last season like on the positive side, and then what was that disappointment like?
I would first talk about the disappointment. I mean, that was rough. That was a rough way to end it. You know, obviously we had high hopes and we had high expectations, and you know, to fall short and to fall short the way we did, it was heartbreaking. That's the way it goes sometimes, and unfortunately, we've been on too many of those sides over the past 12 years, and it's tough, you know. So that's why we're kind of, you know, we're just hoping that we make the playoffs this year. We'll see what happens, you know, low expectations, and we'll see how it goes.
Randall, I don't think that's how it goes. I don't think there's low expectations as far as... Oh, shucks, let's just...
All I'm saying is we've shot for the Super Bowl every single year. Oh, we're making it this year. This is our year. So, you know, we're not even going to make a playoff this year. Well, you know...
All right, breaking news here. Cobber not thinking the Pack is a playoff team. Randall, I have to go back to something Jason said. Can you take us inside that part of July when this started all coming to fruition? Because we had heard things, and, you know, there's always rumors about, but when you were with Houston, how did it go? How was the conversation? Did Aaron call you and say, I think we're going to get you back to Green Bay? And then what was the moment like when that actually happened and you and Aaron talked or saw each other? Because I'm fascinated by that whole dynamic, because that just doesn't happen in the NFL typically.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. You know, yeah, we had conversations, and, you know, it all sounds good, right? You know, it's all like wishful thinking, like, oh, you know, let's talk this into reality. Is we're going to make this happen. And, you know, yeah, of course, we both wanted it, but I didn't think it was actually something that was a tangible deal, especially that late in the game. And I don't know if many people know this, but I had surgery in March last year. I had toe surgery, and I was recovering from that. And, you know, I didn't get cleared until a week before training camp started in Houston. And then once I got cleared, it was basically a couple of days after that the rumors were becoming more of a reality, and I was getting called by reporters in the middle of my nap, waking me up, telling me that I'm getting traded back. And I'm like, wait, what? What is going on? And, you know, it all happened so fast. It's crazy. We are coming up on a year, but whenever I talked to my agent, he was like, I don't know, you know, that I'm not in the loop because I don't need to be for a trade. So it was kind of just a waiting game to see if it actually was going to happen. And that was pretty weird walking into training camp in Houston the day after all that had been released, and all my teammates in Houston looking at me like, what are you doing here? And is this true? So that was a pretty weird experience. But, you know, it all just happened so fast. I mean, once I got traded, I mean, I packed my bag and was at the airport within 2 hours and in Green Bay. So it all happened so fast.
All right, Randall, I know you said this, and it was in jest, that you were kind of like breaking out of prison when you were down in Houston. I think that was just a fun comment. But I don't know if you've seen Shawshank. What's a more miraculous breakout, you leaving Houston or Andy Shepherd getting out of Shawshank?
I think definitely me getting out of Houston. You know, it was some growing pains. You know, whenever I signed in with Houston, I didn't see that coming, you know, especially with a coach that's been there taking the Texans, O'Brien taking the Texans to the playoffs for the past 5 years. I felt like it was a pretty stable place. And, you know, obviously he gets fired four games into the season. We have a great young quarterback in Deshaun Watson. You know, it just fell apart, and it fell apart fast. And unfortunately, I was there to see the whole thing. And, you know, I hope that they're recovering. I think that, you know, some of the moves that they made with Casario and now Lovie Smith are going to be huge for their organization moving forward. You know, I wish them all the best. But yeah, I was very, very happy to get out of that situation and get back to the norm of being in Green Bay.
Talking with Packers wide receiver, which I have to admit I enjoy being able to call him that, Randall Cobb on Wilde and Tausch. Randall, I won't put your age on the street again, even though it is readily available on the internet. But you are the veteran voice in that room. And I talked to all four of the rookie wide receivers, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Samori Toure, and Danny Davis. And they all, of course, just raved about you and what it's been like to be around you and how helpful you've been to them. But they also all made sure that they pointed out that you took them out to dinner. Was that the entire wide receiver group that you took, or just the rookies? And what did you, where did you take them, and what was it like?
We took the whole group, you know, coaches included, you know, Q, who's helping out in our room, and Coach Ray. We all went to a little Italian place in town, had dinner. And I think the reason that, you know, it's important for us to have these opportunities is the camaraderie and to build a connection. You know, we're so business when we're in the facility, and we're worried about handling what we need to do, whether it be on the practice field or in the meeting rooms. We got to get out of that. We got to get out of that scenery sometimes and spend some time together and really get to know each other and grow together. And, you know, when I was here, we used to have receiver dinners weekly, whether at my house or Jordy's house or, you know, at JJ's house back in the day when he was here. You know, Tay's house. We all have had our time where we would rotate through and have receiver dinners and play cards and hang out and have our families together. And being a young kid, whenever I came into the league, you know, like you said, I was 20 when I got drafted, and walking into a room with grown men that have family and families and kids, and it exposed me to something different. And I think it's important for me to share that with some of these younger guys, because I feel like that was a true value add to my life and who I became as a man and as a father by seeing my teammates as fathers. And it's important. It's important for all of our growth. So that's the main reason that I did that, and that we will do that now that, you know, a lot of the COVID restrictions are lifted this year. We'll be able to get our families together and just be able to expose them to more than just the football player that they see, because it's about growth as men as we go along this journey.
There's obviously a huge opportunity for some of these young guys in that room at wide receiver, and we'll talk a little bit about why that opportunity is there in a second. But it was interesting to me to talk to all four of those guys, and it sounds like, and it seems like, seeing them interact, that they all really like each other, even though they're all competing for this great opportunity as a rookie. Have you observed that? I know when you came in as a rookie, you had a big draft class, but you were the only wide receiver, and you mentioned coming into this room with a bunch of grown men. What have you seen as you've watched those four rookies interact?
They all have something special to them when you talk about their ability. But the interaction, I think that the more you can compete and the more that you can push each other to be the best, you're going to get the best out of each other. And that's what our room is all about. You know, yes, the four of them are competing, but we have a lot of guys that, you know, we're going to have 6 or 7, 8 or 9 guys that are competing for 6, maybe 7 spots, right? So it's deeper than just the rookies, you know, and I think that we all understand that, and we're all pushing each other for that. And one of the messages that I continue to give to them is, it's my job to help them know everything that they can and to be the best they can. And I'm just telling them that's the confidence that I have in myself, because I'm going to give you everything that I possibly can to put you in the best position that you can be in. But I'm also letting you know that I'm confident. That's me letting you know that I'm confident enough in myself that I'll be able to do what I need to do to make the team and to be able to have opportunities. And that's what I'm trying to push forward, because that's what guys did for me. That's what Donald Driver did for me. That's what Greg Jennings did for me. So it's me doing the same thing and giving back to them and seeing them interact and push each other in practice and in the meeting rooms. It's been great to see.
Couple more, Randall, and we'll let you go. One, I was thrilled to see you come back, and I'm glad you're back for a second year. I kind of would have liked to have seen 17 there, too. Not going to lie. Another one of my favorite guys. What's it like for you? What was it like on the day that the trade went down, and what's it been like since, knowing that he is not going to be there as part of this team?
I was pretty shocked. You know, I wasn't expecting that. I didn't think it was going to happen. You know, obviously, he grew up an Oakland fan. He, you know, obviously, they're Vegas now, Vegas Raiders. But he grew up an Oakland fan. He's always been a fan of them since he was a kid. And, I mean, let's be honest, the flight to Green Bay isn't cheap, and it's all the way across the country. You know, his family will be able to come to a lot more of his games, and he'll have his loved ones around and be able to spend that time with them. And, you know, we always look at football as players being loyal to teams, and that's not always the case. That, you know, teams aren't always loyal to players, and things happen, and that's part of the business. And I think that the more that people can understand that the NFL is a $11 billion business, it's a lot bigger than just staying on one team. And fortunately, some guys would love to stay on teams their entire career, but that's not always how it goes. And you know, that's part of it. But yeah, I was super shocked that it actually happened when it did. And, you know, I assumed that, you know, he would have to play on the franchise tag that 1 year, and then maybe he'd have another chance to leave after the next year. But, you know, this is where we stand. This is where we are. And I'm happy for him. I couldn't be happier for him that he gets to live out a childhood dream and play for a team that he grew up loving.
All right, last thing for me, and then Tausch has some Tennessee real estate question for you real quick. How is Aaron the same as when you were with him the first time, and how is he different this time around?
How is he the same? Well, he's still a computer processor. You know, it's still crazy to see his process to the way that he goes about playing football and the way that he thinks about the game. And, you know, after playing with two elite quarterbacks in Dak and Deshaun and coming back to him and seeing the way that he operates and he goes about it, it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. And that's why they call him a generational talent, because that's exactly what it is. And it's amazing to watch. How is he different? I think he's definitely a little softer. I guess that happened. Softer in a good way.
Okay.
You know, he was pretty hard on me. I remember as a rookie, and seeing the way that he operates now with so many younger guys, and a little bit more patient, a little bit more understanding, is great to see. Because you know, especially this year, it's going to be important for those guys to understand that we need them, and we're going to expect a lot out of them. But you know, being able to do it in a different way, convey the same message in different ways, so it's very important. And I think that's something that you learn with age.
Yeah, Randa, how do you balance that patience when you don't know how many years you have left? You, Aaron, you guys, I know you were joking about the playoffs and Super Bowl, but you don't know that, and you have a bunch of young wideouts now with no Devontae. That is going to be a challenge for Aaron, isn't it?
Yeah. I think every year provides a different challenge, and it definitely will be a challenge for him because, you know, he's never had to maybe rely on some rookies as much as he will this upcoming year, potentially. So we'll see. We'll see how that all plays out. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not getting any younger. He's not getting any younger. I think we all know that. We all understand that. And, you know, I've been to a few NFC championship games. I've made the playoffs a lot, and I don't have anything to show for it. You know, it's unfortunate, but that's a matter of fact. And, you know, we're doing everything that we can to put ourselves in the best position that we can be in. But you just got to take it a day at a time and a game at a time and just let all the pieces play out.
All right, Randall, we got to let you go. But Tennessee is now the hot spot for former Packers and for current players. You got you. I don't even know who else, but is there just a big gated community that's going to have the same passcode that you get to get into Lambo? Is that going to be the same passcode to get into your guys' compounds?
Basically, it's a lot of us down here. It's a Packer South. We got a huge standing. A lot of guys. I'm not going to list anybody's names because I don't want anybody just pulling up to any of our houses. But yeah, there's a lot of us down here. And I actually got a huge Packer fan at the gym that I work out here. And he, you know, every time he sees me, he's pressing me. So I'm gonna walk in with my hood up today and see if I can hide from him.
Randall, it has been great to watch you and get to know you and get to know Ida and the kids. And it's just, I know the time has flown by, but I'm just amazed at the guy that you always have been, but the guy you've even become even better. So I really appreciate the relationship we have together. I'm glad you're back for a second year on this second turn, and we look forward to seeing you at training camp. Thanks, man.
Thank you. See you soon.
That is Packers wide receiver right. Randall Cobb.
Hey, Jason, you okay?
I'm okay.
Man.
Okay, yeah.
I thought you were getting a little verklempt.
I was not verklempt. I just wanted to know how much we appreciate him.
And by the way, that was awesome.
I don't know what verklempt means.
It means like choked up.
Oh, yeah, he was doing
it. I think the church lady. It was on Saturday Night Live. I don't remember if it was the church lady or coffee talk with somebody. It was coffee talk. And he was getting a little verklempt.
Mike Myers, yep.
I thought you were actually going to tear up. It was emotional.
No.
It was riveting.
I didn't, but it was great, and we'll talk more about what Randall had to say next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Tito's Vodka, America's original craft vodka. Find recipes and learn about their story at titosvodka.com. What y'all trying to do? 24-karat magic in the air.
Getting younger, he's not getting younger. I think we all know that, we all understand that. And I've been to a few NFC championship games, I've made the playoffs a lot, and I don't have anything to show for it. It's unfortunate, but that's a matter of fact. And you know, we're doing everything that we can to put ourselves in the best position that we can be in. But you just got to take it a day at a time and a game at a time and just let all the pieces play out. I'm a dangerous man with some money in my pocket. Keep up. So many.
I've been in some NFC championships. I've been to the playoffs a lot. And I've got nothing to show for it. That is Randall Cobb talking about coming in as a rookie the year after the Packers won the Super Bowl and having no hardware for his 12-year NFL career. Thanks again to Randall for making time for us. If you missed it, joined it in progress, you can get the entire interview on Wisconsin On Demand. I didn't think I sounded quite as verklempt as thought I did.
You get choked up, dog. You were getting choked up, which I get it, man. You've had a great relationship, and obviously, you know, Randall respects what you do, and he's so great to come on and insightful. I thought brought up a couple of really interesting... The headline grabber, he called Aaron Rodgers soft. That was fantastic.
Softer.
No, he clarified after I... Whoa! But it also... I mean...
And also, they're not going to make the playoffs this year. So low expectations.
Yeah, this whole low expectations.
All right, we'll get back to that. But as far as me, I'm definitely soft.
Let me talk about me some more, Jason says.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just trying to get a...
You're telling me you weren't, as a fan of Randall Cobb, not the Packers, you were ecstatic that he got out of his own prison via Andrew Dufresne and was able to get back to his promised land a la Green Bay. That didn't make you happy, and now you could see, I don't care what you say, you were getting a little emotional at the end of that interview because it may, his friendship to you means a lot. Fair?
Yeah. So, again, and this does not happen, you and I had a great relationship when I covered you. I've had great relationships with a number of guys that I've covered. But when Paula was going through breast cancer and our family, because everyone goes through it, she obviously had the biggest battle, and I'm extremely thankful that she is in a great place now. But he and Ida checked on us pretty much every week. And that said a lot about his character to me. Not everyone did that for us. And so he did go above and beyond, and that does mean a lot to me. I do think he's one of the true good guys that I have covered, and he is very authentic. He's not fraudulent, because I've also covered some guys that like to have everybody think he's a great guy, and
like
he's
who?
Not really a great guy.
Like who?
I'm not going to name any names.
Oh, okay.
But sometimes they play wide receiver. I would say this. I feel for a guy who missed the window. You know, you were talking earlier about the Bears fan giving you a hard time. If you weren't on the 96 or 2010 teams, and you were at the end of your career, so I'm glad you were able to be part of the 2010 team and play on that team, but you could have a really good NFL career with the Packers and play with Hall of Fame quarterbacks, plural potentially, and never have won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And he's in that group.
Yep.
Despite all the success. And so I feel for him in that way because, as I mentioned in the conversation with him, when he was talking before that playoff game about what it would mean, I mean, I got chills listening to him because he's on the outside looking in. He's not a member of the club like mm-hmm. you are.
You know what? You want guys like, I mean, Randall Cobb, by all accounts, you know, he's been a fantastic player. He is getting older. He's acknowledged that. And he still is going to be able to contribute. He's not going to be the Randall Cobb that was, you know, pretty highly sought after. You know, Green Bay re-signed him, I don't know, what was that, 14, 15, whatever year it was.
Yep, after the 14 season.
You want guys that do it the right way, that work hard, that are great teammates, and that have put in the time and effort. You want them to get that payoff. That's why I know what Aaron Rodgers puts himself through, and I understand, you know, he's a polarizing cat. But as a friend and as, you know, watching his career unfold, that's why the last 2 years I've wanted him to get one of those, because I know how important it is for his legacy. And he'll never admit it, but it's important to him, too, to get one, to shut critics up. Like Steph Curry was able to get that fourth one and shut up a lot of critics. That would be fantastic for Aaron. Randall Cobb deserves it, but unfortunately, football isn't a game of, well, you deserve this. It's everything has to be earned to a really difficult degree. And they're going to have to earn every stripe, and I don't care what they say about lowering their expectation. It is Super Bowl or bust, and Randall Cobb will be the first one to tell you that. It's just that now, oh, shucks, you know, I love them. He's like, oh, shucks, I don't know. It would be nice if we could find a way just to get in the playoffs, but, you know, nothing is guaranteed. Well, I guaranteed it back in what day did Aaron Rodgers sign his extension? I made the guarantee that day. They're going to be in the playoffs.
And even if Aaron Rodgers were to miss some time with an injury, you think they would be, because you think that's how bad the division is and that Jordan Love and that defense would be good enough. We'll talk more about what Randall Cobb had to say, including this lowering of expectations. I'm really curious if this is Randall or if this is out there from Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers, and this is an organized effort to take this approach to the season. We'll talk about that and so much more next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com. Stuck on the ground, but I just keep my head up.
I'm running circles trying to find another finish line. Plug in that power system, light up that optimism, even on my darkest days. I get knocked down, but I just...
We spent a long time with Randall Cobb. He said a lot. He's gunning for that Mully Award, the Tom Mulhern Stand-Up Guy Award. The competition not quite as fierce now that Devontae Adams is no longer on the roster. And Tausch, you have the Tausch translator, which we've had for the last several years. I want to listen again to what Randall Cobb said about expectations, and then I want you to explain what's going on here, because I can't remember the last time I remember a Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre quarterback team, other than 2008, I suppose, where no one was saying, hey, it's the Super Bowl's the goal. We win championships around here. It's title town for a reason. Here's Randall Cobb on tempering expectations.
That was rough. That was a rough way to end it. You know, obviously we had high hopes and we had high expectations, and, you know, to fall short and fall short the way we did, it was heartbreaking. But that's the way it goes sometimes. And unfortunately, we've been on too many of those sides over the past 12 years, and it's tough. You know, so that's why we're kind of, you know, we're just hoping that we make the playoffs this year. We'll see what happens. You know, low expectations, and we'll see how it goes.
Randall, I don't think that's how it goes. I don't think there's low expectations as far as shucks. Let's just
Tausch, what are we doing here? I mean, seriously, what are we doing?
No, I mean, I sensed he was. I think he was saying it. You could kind of hear, and I get granted, I couldn't see his face. I'm watching AJ Dillon just blast that.
You're watching the ugly.
Oh my God! No. I'm watching AJ just completely. They just showed it seven times. So that thing's gonna have 50 million views.
They can't show it enough. Yeah.
I think what they're trying to do is they've had all these high expectations, and they're trying to set the bar, especially on offense, a little bit lower, because, as you know, at GKB, we want to under promise and over deliver.
Correct.
I almost screwed that up.
Under promise is never one of the things that we say. That's like we over deliver, but under promise.
Well, the deal is if you make a commitment, you're gonna fulfill it and go on top of it. So I think what Packer fans, and this is where the whole regular season and, you know, kind of get that Milwaukee Bucks 2020 feeling of I'm gonna be interested. It's gonna be fun to watch, but wake me in January type feel.
It is there. There's no doubt.
So you can say all you want. And Randall doesn't believe that for one second. He's saying, I think what coaches are saying is, we have a new group. especially in that receiver room. We need to be hungry like we're not the big dogs because we haven't gotten over the hump. I think your messaging is going to be, we haven't proven anything, we haven't done anything. It's not about the expectation is this is going to happen. It's more, we got to go out and make it happen. And I'm thinking that's going to be some of your taglines you're going to hear a bunch of throughout training camp, throughout, you know, September, early part of the season. Is all of this is great, but we have to go out and earn it and prove it. And Randall Cobb is just saying, you know, the expectations, we're just going to try to, man, no, that's not what it is. He knows that. But I think he's trying to get this messaging out there so that the pressure isn't going to be so high on some of these young players that they're going to get overwhelmed by it. That's what leaders do, and that's what Randall Cobb is doing.
All right, so I have said this multiple times, and I firmly believe it. I think they're going to have some serious growing pains. I don't think the defense is going to hit the ground running as talented as it may be, as stacked as it may be. I think it's going to take them a little while to find their footing. I definitely think it's going to take the offense a while. I think the offensive line, without Elgton Jenkins and with David Bakhtiari playing meaningful snaps other than the 27 snaps in a regular season finale, it's going to take him time to get his sea legs. I do believe that this is going to be the team at the end of the season, much like your 2010 team was, that you want no part of them. Right? Like, the Bears would have loved to have kept you guys out of the playoffs on the final day of the season. They had nothing to play for that year at Lambeau Field, and you guys won 10-3. They did not want you guys in the playoffs, and it was smart for Lovie Smith to play his guys, because then you came and beat him at Soldier Field. I think that's what they're going to look like, but when you have that feeling about what it's going to take to get going at some point in the season, doesn't that, aren't I lowering expectations, at least for early in the season? I think my postseason expectations are still the same. They won't be the number one seed, and they may have to win a road game or two, but I still expect them to contend for a Super Bowl, regardless.
Yeah, everybody does, and they right. do. Everybody involved is, and I think we all understand that there's going to be a learning curve, but if you think Packer fans are going to be fine with the Aaron Rodgers-led offenses in September scoring 10 points a game, come join me at Pack Attack after those games. They ain't going to be. And you know who else isn't going to be? Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers and A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. So all of that can be fine, and I think tempering expectations and lowering the temperature in the room on how great you're going to be. Just like when Vince Young and the Philadelphia Eagles team got together themselves the dream team, and all, LeBron saying 7, 8, 9 championships in Miami, that's all great fodder. You got to go out and prove it. And I think Green Bay now, they have been the big dogs. They're the favorites. They've been the one seed for 2 years. It hadn't worked. And I think that was kind of the overlying theme you kept hearing Randall Cobb saying. I think the hunger has to come from, even if you have to convince yourself, and that was Barry Alvarez was great at it. You know, these coaches that can get you to buy in to things that sound absurd to the outside, that's great coaching. That's getting your guys dialed in to make sure that they can accomplish a goal, even though you don't have to broadcast it to the world. Everybody knows what their goals are going to be, regardless if they broadcast it to you or not.
We'll talk more about what Randall Cobb had to say coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. More next. It's Wildy and Tausch.